because I go to the Father. Well, we're back in this chapter that we've been preaching on Sundays. And as I mentioned that a few Wednesdays ago, that I want to visit this section and not only do a review of some of the points I made in the Sunday message on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we want to get the theology books out and dig a little deeper. And I must say that I have gotten considerable help from one writer called Malcolm Watts. And some of what you will receive tonight I have gleaned from him. And this subject is very vital to the Christian. It is something that perhaps we don't preach enough. Something that we don't preach enough on Sundays. And I think it lends itself more to a Bible study than it does to preaching to a congregation of all interests and ages and levels of understanding in these things. So I hope tonight that we will have the Lord's help and the Holy Spirit himself will be our teacher. Now, the last meeting 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 13, that the Spirit of God, his work is to lead us into all truth. He is our teacher and our guide. And we learned about the difference between inspiration and illumination. And we have already in the Bible objective truth. It's written, it's done, it's settled, but we need help to understand it all, to take it in, to comprehend the meaning of the scriptures and spiritual things. And that's the Spirit's work, to teach us from the Word and give us a deeper grasp of the Word of the Lord. Also, as we come tonight to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his work is to reveal the Lord Jesus in a deeper and in an ongoing, progressive, fresh, blessed, sweet way that we love the Lord all the more, that our faith in him gets stronger, our views of the Lord Jesus become more blessed, and we always keep asking, how come I didn't see that before? How come I didn't grasp that about the Lord Jesus? And we'll just keep on that as the Lord teaches us. Now, ministry on the Spirit, as I mentioned a few Sundays ago, to some people, it's an uncomfortable subject. And I wonder why that is. In the Reformation time, of course, these doctrines were revived and preached. The Puritans preached extensively on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's hardly a preacher or theologian of the Puritan age that doesn't have some book or treatise or pamphlet or a sermon on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. John Owen's work is the classic. It is extensive, exhaustive, as he always is. And then John Calvin in his Institutes. As you read there, you will see countless references to the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. It is the thesis of his Institutes. And the whole application of redemption, how it gets from Calvary to me, in my heart, my life, my soul, that's the work of the Holy Spirit and much more. So it is more than just a topic that you pick up when you think about revival. Everyday ordinary Christian living requires the personal, individual, sweet ministry of the Spirit revealing and drawing us into a deeper view of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. If we're to do that, we need to know something of his ministry. We need to learn how he operates, how to invite him. We're called upon to pray in the Spirit. And of course, as this is a prayer meeting, that really comes very fitting to our hearts this evening. Are we going to pray in the flesh or pray in the spirit? And of course, our goal certainly is that the Holy Spirit will even guide us in our praying. Let's look up that verse in Romans 8:26, where the Holy Spirit is our teacher in prayer, guiding us in the very words and the utterances that we ought to pray. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And there is nowhere that you will find yourself weaker and more limited, infirmed, if you will, than when you come to pray. You'll wonder, well, what words do I use? How do I address God? What petitions? What am I to ask for? What is spiritual and what is carnal? Pray. We're not here tonight to pray that we become millionaires overnight. We're not here tonight to pray that we get some rare thing that nobody really enjoys in this world but us. No, that would be carnal. And of course, there's gospel praying. And we talked before about praying on redemption ground. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us in the very asking and the supplicating as we come to pray. Now, just again by introduction, the Holy Spirit is referred to in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And in that chapter, you have the most practical, very elevated, but very practical teaching about husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, submit to your husband. These are great needs in our homes, in our marriages. And by the way, Beulah and I are celebrating our 42nd anniversary today. Right today. And we want to thank the Lord for 42 years of wedded bliss and all His mercies and goodness to us. And we know that without the Lord, our marriages would be in trouble. We need the help of the Lord to walk hand in hand through life and to grow together, to serve the Lord together, and to have His help and hand upon us. Now, the Holy Spirit's name, Comforter. What a very powerful name it is. Parakletos. He is called alongside. How precious, therefore, in the Christian life is this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now tonight, we're going to look at verse 14. We're going to look at these words. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now, the first thing to note is that the Holy Spirit does not add to the glory of the Lord. You can't add to the glory of the Lord. He's God. He's glorious. The Hebrew word for glory means weight. It means worthy, and He is all worthy. And so the Holy Spirit does not add to the glory of the Lord Jesus, but He shines the light upon the glory and the wonder of the Lord Jesus. Just like the sun when it shines upon a landscape. It's very different being on the top of a mountain looking down on a dull, dark, gloomy day. And when the sun is shining, you may go up there on a dark day and things are not very appealing. But whereas on a bright, beautiful blue sky day, you can look out on the same vista and it's beautiful. And when the Holy Spirit works, He reveals the beauty, the wonders that are in our Lord Jesus. And so that's the focus that he gives. Now tonight, I'm going to do something very straightforward. Number one, why the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the Son. Why him? Why it is his work to reveal the Lord Jesus? Why is it not the Father's work? Or why does the Lord Jesus not reveal himself right now that he is at the right hand of the Father? Well, let's look at a few reasons on this. Firstly, because he sustains a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. Have you read in your Bible? I hope you have. I know you have. When the Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. I've got three texts for that right now. Romans 8, 9, Galatians 4, 6, 1 Peter 1, 11. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because he has this special relationship with the Lord Jesus. And because he indwelt the Lord Jesus in fullness and without measure. Let's look back at John 3 and verse 34. John 3:34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So here now we have the Trinity in this verse. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Father is giving the Holy Spirit to the Son, not with measure, unlimited, infinitely. And so, all through the life of our Lord Jesus, from his incarnation, there is this indwelling of the Spirit in the Lord Jesus. That's amazing. It's wonderful. It's blessed. And so he is so related to the Lord Jesus that he is called the Spirit of Christ. He belongs to him. He is sent by him. He indwelt him. And now that Jesus is gone to heaven, he is the vicar in the place of the Lord Jesus. So it's his work to be the revealer, to be the one who reveals the glory of the Lord Jesus. Third reason, because the Holy Spirit is granted us on the account of Christ's redeeming work. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 13. On the cross, by his sacrifice and his atonement, by answering the curse, the Lord Jesus bought the right of your body to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's read the verses now. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you see the chain connection there? The Lord Jesus was made a curse for us to redeem us. And then verse 14, that in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, in order that he might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the right or the possibility of the Holy Spirit ministering to us has been purchased by our Lord Jesus at the cross. And so it's his work now. Christ purchased the title, deed of his children who are redeemed by the blood, to be indwelt and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Lord Jesus has commanded the Holy Spirit to do this work. Let's go back to John again. John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, the Holy Spirit, of course, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now that word testify in verse 26, it's the Greek word martyrio, martyr, a witness. And so this is the ministry of the Spirit. It's God given by the Father, and it's given by the Son. And it's His work. It's His office. It's His ministry to reveal the things of the Lord Jesus and to minister to every one of our hearts. And for this we are to pray. And as this is a prayer meeting, we need to take to heart that it is right, indeed it is absolutely essential, that the Christian one by one prays earnestly that the Spirit of God, who was sent by the Father, promised by the Son, purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross, that He truly ministers to us and through us. That is biblical praying. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and we'll see how Paul the Apostle prayed this. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. You'll notice in verse 16 that he's on his knees praying. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So, this is a help to us tonight as we pray. If we want to know how to pray, especially in relation to the Holy Spirit's ministry, here is a tremendous example for us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit. Now, I know that in our authorized version, it is not an uppercase S. And this is one of the challenges in translation, because in the Greek language, there are no capitals for personal pronouns. And the translator bears the responsibility of what to capitalize and what not in the English language. And very often, the AV translators did. But as you read this and you read the whole context of it, this is no one else's office, no one else's position, but to be the Holy Spirit. That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now remember, the office of the Lord Jesus is to testify, to reveal the Lord Jesus, to shine the light upon the Savior. The word revelation here is apokalypsis. It is the stage where the curtain is drawn aside. And you may have been seated in a school auditorium where a play or a drama is taking place and the curtain is drawn and you can hear the rumblings in the background and the lights flashing and you don't have any idea what's going on behind that curtain. But then there's the moment the music starts, the curtain draws aside, and it is all opened up. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he does that constantly, reminding us, teaching us, revealing to us the very wonders of the Lord Jesus. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And again, translators wrestle with this one. It means discernment. It means to acknowledge. It means that you get it. It means that it sinks in. And, of course, that's the preacher's problem. I fear there's many times I preach and people don't get it. Doesn't sink in. And they wonder, what was that all about? But the Holy Spirit enables the weakest, least Christian, even the newest Christian. You think of the hours or the days after your conversion. What grasp, what a grasp, what reality you had in hours or days after conversion. That is the Spirit's work. That is not natural human effort. That is the work of the Spirit to enlighten and to work. Now, I want to read down to the end of the chapter because it's very thorough here what Paul is praying for. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us were to believe, according to the working of his mighty power. All of these things, the Spirit of God enables us to grasp it. We get a hold of it, and it sinks in, and it becomes what we truly expect. And then verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that all in all. So we need to grasp that our Lord Jesus is exalted, seated at the right hand of God. He is the head over the church. And the Holy Spirit is down here in the world with us. And his ministry is to constantly reveal and give us grace to understand the gospel. One more text. It's back in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. And you'll notice that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the gospel. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Ah, did you notice the translators put the uppercase S in this one? The promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. And there's the means that the Holy Spirit uses. And we may take that up next week. The means by which the Holy Spirit operates. But if he's going to reveal and give us clear understandings that we grasp the glory that is in our Lord, he gives us faith to take it in. The eyes of our understanding being opened. And we are able to receive by faith. What an amazing gift faith is. And you'll see it is a gift here. That ye might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith is the channel. Faith is the means by which this certainty and assurance comes into our hearts and souls. And we talk about people being full of faith. Being full of assurance, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to emphasize in closing that the Holy Spirit doesn't add anything at all to the Lord Jesus himself. He is what he is. He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is equal to the Father. He is glorious in holiness. But we need eyes to know it, to see Him. Now one day we will see the Lord not by faith, but with our physical eyes. We will see Him face to face, and we'll see the glory that is in Him. Until then, we are dependent upon the Spirit of God to reveal and stir up our hearts to rest and rejoice in the Lord Jesus. And just as you probably have seen this many times, a painting or a statue figure of some hero, and there's a light on it in a gallery or a museum. There's a spotlight on that figure or that painting. And the light accentuates, it draws the eye to consider the right features or proportions of the person. That's the work of the Spirit. And without the Spirit of the Lord, we would have very low views of the Lord. We would lose interest in Him. We would grow cold toward Him. But when we are full of faith and the Spirit of God is stirring our hearts, then we love Him whom having not seen, we love. And that love is stoked and our hearts are drawn to Him all the more. So we leave it there tonight. This is the work and ministry of the Spirit, and we need to pray much for it. We need to pray for that personally. We need to pray that for every soul that comes through the doors of the church. We think of those who come as visitors, strangers to us at first. We don't know anything about where they're at spiritually. We don't know what they know or don't know. Maybe they've been in a cult. Maybe they've been in some false religion. Maybe they've been atheists. Maybe they've just come in out of curiosity. And it's the Spirit's work to reveal the Lord Jesus to individual hearts. And we need to pray for that. We need to pray for that earnestly, because all our preaching is very low-key, very powerless, without the ministry of the Spirit.